left point now. Marchessault down to the goal line. And Marchessault gets it back. Quick passing down low. Here's Perron walking it in front. And a shot. Score! It's another power play goal. This time it's buried at the side of the net.
Okay, you got it open. I can't even hear myself think today, Bags. There we go. Hey, listen, you thought the Vegas Golden Knights were going to start playing like an expansion team, right? Well, they snapped their two-game losing streak yesterday with a win against Ottawa and continue this ridiculous storybook start to their inaugural season. Hey, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ottaline. We are here every Sunday from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. We are also streaming live on the Las Vegas Sports Network. I'm Brian Feldman, and the we I am speaking about is not a mouse in my pocket. It's the man behind the big board making the show possible. He is future Nevada Hall of Fame producer Magnum. The show.
I like how you say mouse in the pocket just as the cat meows. I mean, that's like, you didn't even realize that that was going to happen.
I didn't. It was very, very apropos, though. I liked it.
You do have a mouse in your pocket, though.
Well, you know, I think all of us do, right?
Quite a few, I think.
That skeleton's in my closet. Listen.
Well, you got that, too.
Hey, now you've completely thrown me off my
game.
Well,
that was kind of the point.
I know you did. Well, listen, the show's social media handles. Twitter is at Ottaline 1340 AM, and you can find us, like us, and follow us on Facebook. The page is called Ottaline. That's Outtaline. And I am well aware that without you, there's no show. So if you have something on your mind, pick up the phone, turn down your radio, and say what you got to say. The Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. Joining us in studio for the first time ever is my friend and fellow masochistic, longtime suffering sports radio personality, Brian Shapiro. Me and Brian attended the UNLV exhibition basketball game together Friday night, and then Brian stood with me and Magnum at the UNLV football game yesterday afternoon. Before we get Brian wound up, let me tell you about today's show. Besides Shapiro, our guests include Mark Anderson, who covers UNLV football and basketball beat for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Also joining, UNLV men's basketball coach Marvin Menzies, and you'll get to hear from Jordan Johnson, who I believe is UNLV's first true point guard since Anthony Marshall. And a little later on, you'll hear from Roger Riley, a former Basic High School catcher who now plays at CSN. Tomorrow night, Roger will finally be wrapping up a dream-come-true summer with most of his coaches and teammates. Stick around, and we'll let you know how you can check it out, too. And with all that on the agenda, we still will get to Nightcap, Blazin', and Fact This! What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can roll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
Hey, I got a bone to pick with you. Because you don't tell me which order we're doing this. You got two different orders on here, man.
No, I don't. Do I really? Hold on. Let me take a look and I'll see. I don't think so, but we'll take a look and see.
I'm going to call you out on the air, man.
You can call me on the air. It's easy. What do I have for the first? I got right Nightcap.
And then look at this. Look at after your What's on Tap.
Okay, hold on. What's on tap?
Fact this.
Oh, yeah, that's from last week. I didn't change that. That's all.
Geez.
That's all. Go ahead and just put on Nightcap.
All those damn mice in your pockets, man.
I'm sick, man. I got a freaking cold.
Brian, your head's going to explode.
It is, right? I'm red. I can't breathe. My Red Bull's only half empty.
Well, like I said, it's that combination of Red Bull, Viagra, and Vicodin, and OxyContin.
There you go. You added Oxy this time.
You're like
time.
One of those WWE wrestlers making that speech, and at the end of the speech, your head looks like it's going to explode, and your face is all red.
You look like Special Delivery Jones on crack, all right, man.
Next time, we'll have Facebook Live so you can see exactly what I look. I'm the handsomest guy in the studio. Now, do me a favor.
That's an understatement.
Now, do me a favor and put on Nightcap, please.
Right, here we go.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, I want to start Nightcap and the show by saying how happy I am that last week's guest on the show, Frank Harnisch, a man I call Mr. Golden Knight here at Lotus Broadcasting, is on his way to what we hope will be a full recovery from the car accident he was in last week. In Frank Harnisch fashion, he was out of the hospital and making appearances here at the station less than a week removed from having surgery to repair his broken neck sustained in that car accident. Frank, that was Gordie Howe tough. For those of you that don't know who Gordie Howe is, he was one of the greatest and toughest hockey players of all time. He played into his 50s. Although he left this planet in 2016, he still is and will forever be known as Mr. Hockey. So what I'm saying is Godspeed and mucho respect, Mr. Harnisch. As far as the Golden Knights go, I'm sure Frank, like the rest of us, are happy the losing streak stopped at 2 yesterday afternoon in Ottawa as they held on and won 5-4. Three-game losing streak. Mags, I mean, is this team... are they going to really ever start playing like an expansion team? From my understanding, they've only not led at some point in one game this season.
Yeah, I think that was the Bruins game last week.
Tuukka Rask was standing on his head.
Yeah, I mean, and they played well in that one. Just Boston, I think, was a little bit better. Boston wanted revenge, too. But, and here's the other thing. I can remember leading up to the draft, the expansion draft, and Minnesota left a couple of guys unprotected, a guy by the name of Dumba. And everyone was flipping out because George McPhee didn't take Dumba from the Wild. And for not taking him, all he got was Eric Halla and Alex Tuck.
Wow.
Who between the two of them, I think, have like 9 goals this season. So Dumba is being benched in Minnesota in crucial times to force his red-faced coach, Boudreau, to have a meltdown in the postgame because people are asking him, why are you benching Dumba? And here the Golden Knights are with Halla and Tuck. And Tuck is like 22 years old. He's the best player on the team. It's ridiculous.
Here's what says volumes about the Golden Knights organization. Ottawa's coach yesterday before the game told the media that he felt like the Knights were the hardest working organization in the entire NHL. And we're just several weeks into the season. What does that say about this organization? Well, it's around the league now.
You know, what it says is it says management did things right, and it says they hired a hell of a good head coach.
Oh, he's great.
I think Gerard Gallant is really going to be one of the best surprises on this team. We talk about some of the great players that we picked up in the expansion draft that we drafted, free agency. I think the best of all was the hiring of Gerard Gallant. I really do. That might be the best thing this team did.
And how important is that, hiring the right coach?
Yeah. In hockey, it's
number one.
It's
an intangible that is almost unmatched. In any other sport, it really is.
But he gets it, you know. Like if you talk to Gerard Gallant, he's never angry. He understands.
Very even keel, isn't
yes,
he? Turk is very even keel.
He gets. Look, there's ups and downs. There's highs and lows. It's it's a long season. He doesn't overreact. You don't see him throwing sticks out on the ice when something doesn't go their way. You know, I mean, he seems to be. You know, not that I know the guy personally very well, but it seems like he's very mellow for the most part.
Work hard. That's his mantra. Work hard.
I'll tell you what, for the years he skated in Detroit, there was never a problem with this guy. He wore the A, Stevie Yzerman wore the C, and Gerard Gallant was the epitome of a gentleman. Everywhere you saw him, he did a couple of commercials here and there, but it was always class was around this guy.
Well, he smiles.
Have you ever heard a bad thing about Gerard Gallant?
No.
Amazing. And I really like the direction we're going. They've got 8 of their next 12 games still on the road, Chris.
That's a lot.
I mean, it's a lot. 9-4 right now, still one of the better teams in the National Hockey League. You know, I, no matter what you say, I'm not going to get away from the fact that one day, and I'm thinking fairly soon, this is an expansion team, guys. Will they make the playoffs this year? I believe they have a chance. We talked about it a little bit at Sam Boyd yesterday that they have a chance, but it's still an expansion team. If they make the playoffs, they're going to be the 7th or 8th seed, and they're going to get bumped in the first round.
What stands out to me. Yeah, their first line is not an all-star first line.
We talked about this. I know where you're going.
But
go ahead.
The third and fourth lines for this team, especially that fourth line, guys like Belmar.
Might be the best
Thomas,
fourth line
Tomáš,
in
hockey. Tomáš, got to say it right. Tomáš Nosek and Will Carrier. That fourth line for the Knights is arguably the best fourth line in the NHL.
I agree with you.
And look at their losses. I mean, It's not like they're getting embarrassed. They were up 4-2 against the Rangers. Should have won that game.
Bad penalties,
they,
yeah.
They played well against the Bruins.
The Bruins might have been the best game of the season based on how well they played defensively.
And they were beating the Islanders until Dantz got hurt. And let's be honest, Jonathan Tavares might be the most underrated player in the NHL. I mean, the Islanders are a pretty good team. They could score a lot of goals.
No question about it.
You know, it's not like they've been crushed. It's not like they're losing game 6-2 on this road trip.
And you should have won the Detroit game at home.
Yeah, because Fleury got the concussion. Yeah, I mean, if not... Who knows? Who knows what the record is if Fleury doesn't get hurt?
That just tells me this team is a lot better than we thought they were. I think their defensemen are unbelievable. They're doing a fantastic job.
They're very deep.
We got our fourth goalie in
there
right now.
I mean, defensively, he brought so many defensemen initially because he understands. I mean, the bottom line is it goes with hockey in any sport. Defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. You've got to play well in front of the net. And he knew Marc-Andre Fleury is an aging goaltender, and of course he gets hurt. And their defense is the reason that's helping out the goaltenders. I mean, Dansk, trust me, do you think the guy's that good? Maybe he will be one day.
I think Dansk is a lot better than we thought.
Come on, Chris, there's no question about it.
But
better
you know who's been
a
pleasant surprise for me has been Derek England. Because he's
They didn't even really need to draft that guy through the expansion draft. They would have got him through free agency. It was like doing him a favor.
But they wanted him to be part of it all.
And I think that meant a lot to him to the point that he's playing the best hockey of his life now.
I think he's got a goal. He's got 6 assists, I think.
Right.
You know, he's playing really well. Yeah. I mean, he's not a guy who scores a lot of points.
And the last point I would make on the Knights, and I'm sure both of you will agree on this, besides having a great coaching staff and hiring good players, good people, is it's the fact that all these guys are playing with a chip on their shoulder. Look, their teams released them over the summer, okay? So all these guys have something in common. And when you got all those guys that are playing with a chip on their shoulder, you're going to get the best out of these guys, and I think that's what you're getting right now.
Well, I think so, too. The media, I've got a chip on my shoulder that I got to pay $8 to eat there. So I'm a little salty when I walk into T-Mobile myself.
The point you're making, you know, we saw Will Carrier play an unbelievable game against Buffalo. I mean, he drew a slashing penalty where he went around Marco Scudera, where he looked like a South Korean short track speed skater blowing by this guy. He got the slash. They scored the winning goal on that play, on that penalty that he drew. Lindbergh scored a goal against the Rangers. You know, Lindbergh was a guy who the Rangers really liked, but I guess they didn't like him that much if they let him go. You know, so
protect so many people, Mags.
Well,
I mean, that's,
they understand it's a business, but that doesn't mean that they're happy about the fact that
we always listen. I'm going to keep you on point because we're overstepping our time. But what the Knights did is building a foundation, and we're talking about the guys in their team in the fourth line, possibly the best. We're not even talking about Suzuki and Glass down in Chicago right now that eventually are both going to be really good players. Yeah. This Suzuki kid, I think, is going to be unbelievable. He has great hands. He has a knack for finding open space, and I love the kid. I think as much as I like Cody Glass, and I think he is going to be a solid NHL player as well, this kid Suzuki, to me, I think is going to be a goal-scoring machine
with him,
2 years from now in the National Hockey.
There was a video on his juniors where he just lit this guy up in center ice. I mean, knocked him off his skates. I mean, we didn't see that part of his game.
Yeah, physicality of his game we never knew about.
To me, the guy that they drafted that I like the best is the Brännström kid who's in Sweden. I think he's a defenseman, but my God, this kid has such vision on the ice. He should be a forward the way he sees the ice.
And he can score. Listen, hit fact this. We got to move on.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact. The UNLV cheerleaders yesterday wore jackets when they were cheering. I didn't think it was that cold. I did say, hey, maybe I should have brought my sweater out because I was wearing a short sleeve shirt. A lot of people were. I saw people in shorts. I think this about that the bottom line is you make a team. It is a competition like anything else. There are girls that get cut that do not get to cheer, girls and guys that don't get to cheer. You earn the uniform. You're just like in anything, you are competing for a uniform. I do not believe when you are performing that uniform should be in all the way back to Little League, and I am talking T-ball. Now, maybe rules have changed, but since Jacob played Little League, he was never allowed to wear a coat in the playing field. You had to wear your uniform. He wasn't getting paid. He wasn't on a scholarship. He was a little boy.
As you know, though, when it is cold outside and you look at a woman, sometimes you could tell if it's cold, if you know what I'm saying, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I do. So there's a problem?
That's not a bad thing.
Those uniforms are thick enough to cover that up, Bri. Come on. The bottom line is this. They can wear jackets. Two things. Wear them when you're not cheering, when you're standing there when the team's playing, and if it's really inclement weather, if you're up in Colorado Springs in January, okay, or in December, okay, but come on, it wasn't even that cold yesterday.
You are genuinely angry about this.
I just think, you know what? The bottom line is you could not tell who they were cheering for.
In the middle of the game, he starts yelling at me. He's like, I can't believe these cheerleaders are wearing jackets.
You wouldn't be able to tell they were UNLV cheerleaders in their jackets. They earned those jerseys. And like I said, it's not a gigantic deal. To me, it's just something you earn the jersey, wear it proudly. Don't put a jacket over.
Not a gigantic deal. You're doing an entire segment on it.
I did a fact this on it. It's a fact that we saw him. And the point is, I don't ever remember. I went to every damn Michigan State football game. It was freezing in Michigan. The cheerleaders were all wearing their outfits.
So
the
why
way
don't
they're
you go
to.
Up? Why don't we get the coach on? And why don't we ask him or her that question?
The cheerleading coach?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so. Next week.
I have no problem.
That's a great guess.
Line it up.
I have no problem doing that. I might be a little bit tongue-tied. We have the coach. I don't know if you've seen her. Mags will be tongue-tied. He's already tongue-tied. We don't even have her on yet. Trust me. She's very pretty. So
I
don't want to offend her.
Was she wearing a jacket?
Next thing you know, I'll be getting with. She wasn't there yesterday. I always know.
What a
I always know. So,
what a stalker.
Hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
You are a stage 5 clinger.
Hey, you know what? You got to do what you got to do. So the bottom line is, wear the damn, take the jackets off. When it's snowing, put the jackets on, but not in Vegas. We're in Las Vegas, and it's just barely November, and it was a nice day yesterday.
What about the male cheerleaders? Are you chauvinistic now?
No, the male cheerleaders should never put a jacket on. They should be in tank tops because you're male cheerleaders.
Hey, and at halftime, I believe they were from Hawaii. The hula guys and girls came out, and they were in their grass skirts, and they were dancing at the half. You know.
They did not wear jackets if you looked at the other side. They were not. And it's colder for them. They're in Hawaii. It doesn't get as cold as it got here last night.
Of course not, yeah.
Okay, they were not wearing jackets. So my point exactly. It is something you earn. Be proud of it. All right, let's go to break. We got to come back. We got a lot more to go on still today. We are going to talk to Mark Anderson after the break. We're going to talk to Marvin Menzie. Roger Riley, really cool kid. You'll like him. He's the catcher at CSN. Unbelievable kid at Basic. 2-state back-to-back state champions. And they won the American Legion World Series this past summer. And we got a party going on at Buffalo Wild Wings a little bit tomorrow night. We'll tell you about that too.
Now, back to throw Stanton, looking, pass O'Neill, caught by Presley at the 40. He's got an open field, 20, 10, touchdown Rebels. A 52-yard strike to Brandon Presley, and the Rebels now have tied the game with a point after coming up.
4-3-2-1.
UNLV, 2 in a row for the first time. And way longer than you would think. It's pretty incredible. In studio, Brian Shapiro. I'm Brian Feldman. We've got Magnum behind the wheel of steel. And on the phone right now, Mark Anderson, who handles the beat for the Las Vegas Review-Journal for UNLV men's basketball and men's football. And I asked Mags to ask you, Mark, on the phone beforehand, but we'll let you plug your Twitter because I can't remember if it was Mark Anderson 65 or was there an underscore there?
No, it's just all together.
Okay, well, I was right then, man. I had right. Mark, what's going on, man? I appreciate you getting up early. I do this to you all the time. But then again, the show's called Out of Line, so I wouldn't be appropriate if I did things properly.
I would expect nothing less of you.
All right, well, that's good to know. Hey, talk to me about this team and the win last night versus Hawaii. The first thing, obviously, was the quarterback situation. We knew Johnny Stanton was going to start the game. We knew Armani Rogers was going to see some time. Shapiro said during the game that he didn't feel that Armani Rogers should have been brought in when he was. I wasn't sure he should have either. I know that, obviously, that Tony Sanchez wanted to make good on his word. But what did you think, Mark?
Well, if you remember at that time that they'd had two drives stall, so I think the coaches thought maybe that was a good time to see if a change of pace would put some life back in the offense. After those two drives did stall, I thought maybe that would be the time they would do it. And then you know, Monty Rogers went in and he didn't really, you know, that he actually had that one drive get down to the 16, I think it was, before it stalled as well. But you know, I think it became clear after the second quarter that they really needed to go back to Stanton because he is more accurate. And Armani Rogers has got a lot of talent. He's big. He can run. He can throw the ball, you know, 50, 60 yards downfield. But he his accuracy still is not there, and you would hope it gets there at some point, but right now they're trying to get to a bowl. So I feared at halftime that Stanton would be the guy they turn to because he is the more accurate quarterback.
Mark, I thought a big changing of the guard in this game, momentum shift, was the onside kick. That was a play that I don't think anybody in the media room, and I don't think anybody on the field, certainly not Hawaii, thought was coming, and it really paid off dividends for UNLV. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Actually, it's fine. I actually thought they were going to do it then.
Really?
Because they were at the 50-yard line. And I said it to the people sitting next to me. I said, I don't know if I said necessarily an outside kick. I think it's more, maybe it should be like a pooch kick or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see so many teams, I completely agree with what Tony Sanchez said yesterday. And you're the 50-yard line. Why do you kick it in the end zone? You know?
Right.
You're not gaining that many yards. Just take a shot. And so I thought it was the perfect time to do it. I didn't think they had anything to lose at that situation. I actually think the real turning point was right before that kick, when Hawaii took the lead for the first time, had the momentum. It just felt like they were going, you know, they had the chance to really kind of take over the game, and UNLV hit that slant, you know, got to midfield, hit that slant pattern that you just played the sound of to Brandon Presley, and it got UNLV the lead right back. I think that gave them a big jolt of energy, and then the onside kick really built on that, and the onside kick really changed sort of the tone of the game, and made it to where Hawaii was really having to play catch up at that point. UNLV could dictate more of the terms of how the game played out.
I thought it was a really nice wrinkle. Two things, Mark, that I've noticed the last couple of weeks that I don't think – it's not that I don't think. We have not seen to this point from Tony Sanchez, a Tony Sanchez coach team. Number one, halftime adjustments. The last two games, it seemed like they came out a better team in the second half than they were in the first half. We hadn't seen that forever, but we saw it the last 2 weeks in Fresno and yesterday at home against Hawaii. And the other thing that we have not seen is the defense play as well as they have the last 2 weeks. And Tony Sanchez said yesterday in the presser that it was, you know, they were challenged and these guys stood up and took the challenge. But it was definitely nice to see those two things change the last 2 weeks.
There are definitely been more adjustments. I think a lot of it too was execution, which has just simply been better. I mean, if you look at the Air Force game, for example, you know, we didn't really have to make a lot of halftime adjustments. They were up 20 points, but the execution was lousy in the second half, and you can point to any number of plays that could have gone the other way. That I think was more really, you know, as much on the players as it was the coaches. And I'm not saying the coaches weren't at fault. I think everyone was to blame in that game. But I just don't think it's as simple as saying it was halftime adjustments. And then the defense, I'm close to shocked how well this defense has played the past 2 weeks. I thought the talent was decent. I thought they were a more talented defense the last season, but I thought they just hadn't figured out how to play together. And I thought they would need at least a year or two before you saw any real improvement. So to see what they've done the past 2 weeks is really amazing. And I like what they're doing schematically. You know, they get those leads and they make it really hard for teams to hit a big play on them. And I know Hawaii got one big play on them yesterday that set up the late field goal. But generally speaking, they've made teams have to really work hard to get what they need.
So moving forward now, Mark, obviously we know the math. Got to win two more to get to a bowl game. I think this Friday night, is a humongous game. And I think if they can win Friday, I think they're going to get there. But if they do not win Friday, I think it makes it really difficult for them to win their last few games. Talk about Friday night's game, and what do you expect? I know we still got a little ways to go before Friday, but I really think Friday is going to dictate whether they make a bowl game or not.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that even though New Mexico and UNR are very winnable games, I think if you have to try to win back-to-back road games to get to a bowl, I think that that's been a lot, especially for UNLV team that even though they're playing much better, and they've got these rare back-to-back wins, I'm still not convinced that the consistency is there. And so if they beat BYU, then that will show that maybe they're really starting to figure it out, and these aren't just two games that they happen to put together, that they really are starting it on a roll. And, you know, if you're ever going to beat BYU, this is the time to do it. So, you know, I know they've never beaten them here, but, you know, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't win Friday. And I don't know what the line will be, but I would expect UNLV to be favored that game.
You know, I'm sorry. I was just going to tell you that, you know, with BYU, even though it's not a BYU team that we're used to seeing, a two-win BYU team, very uncharacteristic. And at the beginning of the season, before we knew how bad BYU was, everyone, I think, on the schedule chalked this up as a loss. But just because it is Brigham Young University, that type of a win has to play on the minds of these players to think, wow, that's a major accomplishment, right?
No, I think so. Yeah, and, you know, I think looking back at the Fresno game, which before the season we thought was an automatic win in a lot of ways, and then as the week got here, we thought, well, that's an automatic loss now. I felt like UNLV. I even thought that the week of the game. I expected Fresno to win all the way up to game day, but I also sensed that UNLV was pretty confident going into that game, and I think prior success against Fresno State really helped, and I think they saw video and thought maybe that there were areas they could really attack Fresno State, and so. Maybe when they watch video of BYU, they'll see areas where they can attack BYU, and they'll take that same confidence into this game. Because I do think that's been a problem for UNLV, is not completely being confident. And so when things start to go south, that's when they run into trouble. But they've played with a lot of confidence these past two games. And yesterday was a perfect example that when Hawaii had the momentum, UNLV responded right away and then made every play they needed to down the stretch. And That's a confident team, and that's not a UNLV team we're used to seeing over the years. So, you know, if they can keep that and execute the way they've been executing, then I don't see any reason why they can't win this game.
Well, I think you're right as well. They've looked extremely confident, Mark. The one thing I get a little bit concerned about is you win these two games and you start listening to the media and you look at Brigham Young's record and you think, wow, we're playing at home. It's senior night. This becomes a winnable game in your mind, and you hope they don't get too overconfident. We're almost out of time. I got Menzies coming on in a minute, but I did want to ask you a question about basketball, and we'll talk more about this as the season goes on. But one thing I wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask Menzies about this too, how much does it affect your life, his secrecy with this basketball team and you having to write articles and cover this team? In all seriousness, does it affect you?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you notice, we haven't frequently written a lot of articles on the team because, you know, the access really hasn't been there, and I don't, you know, finally getting to see them play in the exhibition, you know, showed me a lot about kind of maybe what to expect about this team at least early in the season. So, yeah, you know, and I like Marvin a lot personally. I mean, it certainly isn't a personal thing with him, but it's not even so much it affects me. It affects UNLV fans. They're not getting the information about this team that maybe they want, and so that's, you know, I don't, you know, but that's his policy. And, you know, a lot of teams around the country, especially in football, but even a lot of basketball programs, have restrictive media policies. And you know, especially at places where they win a lot, that it doesn't really matter because fans are going to watch anyway. But yeah, it does make my life harder, but it's not about me. It's about the readers.
Well, and I agree with that 100%. That's kind of my point. Even for doing talk shows, it's easy. I can flip open the Review Journal and read what Mark Anderson wrote, and it makes me a genius. And now I've got to do further due diligence on everyone else because there is not enough material around. He is Mark Anderson, Mark Anderson 65. You can follow him at Twitter, Las Vegas Review Journal, man. Check him out all the time. Covers the beat for UNLV football and basketball. Double duty, Mark. I don't know how you're going to stay married with all the traveling you're going to be doing the next couple of years covering all these beats.
And he's a good basketball coach too. He coaches his son's basketball team. I know that because I reffed some of those games.
And then
yes, thank you, and I appreciate the taking the $5 to make it.
Hey, Mark won the game. He's a good basketball coach.
Hey, well, now I feel even worse because Mark has so much to do. We're cutting in on his sleep on Sunday morning. So here I am, enemy number one. Mark, we appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Good talking to both of you guys. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Mark. Absolutely. Let's take a quick break. Hopefully we will have Marvin Menzies on the show. When you come back, you are going to hear from UNLV's newest point guard. Took a year off last year. 2 years ago was the second leading assist basketball player in the country in JUCO. The kid's pretty impressive. Brian and I watched him close up on the other night and really liked him. You'll hear that interview right when we come back.
Johnson into Dembele on the block. Shekna back to Jordy.
Jordy, a three from the right side. It is good. Jordy Johnson in rhythm there. Cuts the lead in half, 27-24. Mooring into Dembele. Dembele turns. A little right-handed jump hook.
Nice.
Nice shot. That's the shot, and that's the move he's been working on all summer.
I like the music, Mags. Wow. Not quite as exciting as UNLV football when you hear a touchdown in the basket on that one. I'm just saying, Jordy Johnson, though, is exciting. Bri, I really liked what I saw from this kid. I think he is going to help UNLV a great deal out in the backcourt this year, and I talked to him right after the game on Friday night. I was pretty impressed.
So, Jordan, how does it feel, man? You had to sit out last year watching this team play, not been able to do anything about it. How different is it now that you're going to be an integral cog in this team?
Oh, right now, it was kind of weird being out there for the first time. You know, I was a little nervous the first half. I got through it the second half and just played better, I feel. But my role this year for this team is being a leader, vocal and by example. So, that means even if we're down, I still need to be positive. And I know how I get sometimes, the competitor in me just want to just get mad and get angry, but I still need to just keep my positiveness and make sure we do good and make sure I lead this team and lead in a good way, in a positive way.
How valuable do you think it was being here last year, getting to know some of the guys like Chris Clyburn, Javon Mooring, other guys you play with, and already kind of having a home here at UNLV? Do you think that helps out?
Yeah, that helps out a lot because me, Chris, JoJo, we are really good friends off the court and on the court. So, like we got really good chemistry. I know what both of them are going to do. So, like, I could just throw the pass. I know they're going to be right there. I don't have any, like, doubts about it. So, that's a plus, having them out there on the court with me. I love having them out there with me.
Have you ever been in a situation like this where one year to the next, just almost a completely different team? I mean, you know, I look out there and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't recognize any of these guys from sitting in almost the same seat last year. Have you ever been in a situation like that where a team has completely flipped that much in one year?
Yeah, I have in my JUCO years. My freshman year, we had a team, and then the next year we had probably like a whole different team. It was just a couple new kids, though. Our base was the same, though. Like, our starting five was still the same, but the rest were, like, new people. And then I transferred to Milwaukee, and then that was a new setting for me, too.
This year, like you said, last year we had guys in all positions, but really the big issue was somebody to run the point. It looked to me today like we got somebody to run the point. This guy, number 24, seemed to be doing a pretty good job, but you come in, and like you said, you're kind of the man.
Yeah. Me being the man, I don't want to say I'm the man, but, you know, I'm the leader. I want to lead this team in the positive direction and make sure we stay on top of things, make sure we listen to coach, make sure we do whatever they say needs to be done to win the game. I want to do whatever to win.
How has coach defined your role specifically this year?
My role is to lead this group because we're young, we're inexperienced, and I need to lead them in a positive direction and make sure we're good at all times because I'm a reflection of him.
What do you think we're going to see this year? What, in your opinion, what are we going to see from the UNLV Running Rebels?
This year, you're going to see us guys run. You're going to see us guys run a lot, make a lot of shots. We always in the gym. Everybody's in the gym. It's crazy how much everybody's in the gym, but everybody's going to make shots. We all going to run, and it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be a show to watch.
That is Jordan Johnson, point guard, UNLV, joining us now on the telephone. Don't want to keep him waiting anymore. We have Coach Marvin Menzies. Appreciate you joining us this morning, Coach. What's going on, man?
What's up, B? Everything's good, man. Just having a little coffee, watching a little film, you know, enjoying the football win yesterday still. So life's good, man.
What do you think of your point guard's answers to the questions there?
he's full of optimism, and he's got the right approach to what we're looking to do this year. You know, he's a great kid. You know, he sat out last year, and we had a chance to grow our relationship while he was practicing every day, and I think that was a big advantage for us. I was a little bit concerned with bringing in a guard or holding up a scholarship for 2 years for one year of actual participation, but it was worth it. This kid is, he's a good character kid. You're going to do 2 years with one to play, you better bring in a guy that's going to be on board. You know what I mean? So he is that. And, you know, with him having a lot of, what's the word? I guess just, I don't want to call it pressure because, you know, they're doing what they love to do. But the exterior pressure that can be put on, and you know, so how you handle that, I think, will be critical. And so I'm just making sure we keep him in a good place mentally to understand, hey, look, he's not going to play a perfect game every game. Nobody does. And just making sure we keep it realistic. But at the same time, there are expectations we need to work towards.
Well, I said that I think he's the first true point guard I've seen here since Anthony Marshall, and I don't even know that he was a true point guard, but I really like this kid's game. I like the fact that he finishes inside. He seems to have great recognition of the players around him, and I think, Coach, one of the things that I like is the fact that he was here a year and got to get some camaraderie with the players, get used to the atmosphere, and it's not like just coming in. But I have to ask you, what is the key to your recruiting? I mean, I don't want to say you're painting yourself in a corner by getting these great players. But, Coach, you're getting some great players to come here to UNLV, and the expectations are going up as the more players you bring in.
Well, you want that, right? I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, you wanna have the pressure, the expectation. You just don't want to let it turn into stress. I mean, I think that my expectations are high, so you know, and I want to win here, and I want to win at a high level. So let's face it, you know, it's all about players, man. You got to have guys to do that. You know, the coaching doesn't play nearly a role that most people think. I think it's the character, the culture that you establish within your program, which, well, I guess the coaching has something to do with how you establish the culture, but the really you got to have talent. And you can have great kids and straight-A students and go out in the community and do a great job, and they're still going to fire you if you don't win. So you got to handle your business on the floor.
Coach, how you doing? Brian Shapiro here. Congratulations, by the way, on the recruiting class. I mean, this was the first time a lot of people, fans, and including some members of the media, saw some of these guys on the floor, and I think you and your coaching staff did a phenomenal job recruiting. I wanted to ask you about Mooring. You know, you said a couple times last year there were games where maybe he didn't let the game come to him. How nice is it now to have a guy like Johnson on the floor, which will maybe allow Mooring to maybe pick his spots a little bit better?
You know, I've already seen it in practice, and I like the fact that they had a year to grow their relationship. You know, they're pretty tight, and that also helps, obviously. A good thing about Jordy is he's going to find whoever's open. He doesn't play favorites. He wants to win, and I think for JoJo's benefit, he's going to be able to grow as a guard, just in general, because he'll be able to slide over and play someone, which is the position he's going to have to play professionally, but not have the stress of being the key, you know, position, I mean, guy at that position. And I think that he needs another year to develop that. He did a good job last year for us at that spot, but obviously everybody knows that, you know, he's a scoring guard. And so right. Now we got to turn him into a scoring guard that's also able to play the point.
Coach, what concerns you most about this year's team, and what are you most comfortable with? I know it's early on, but as a member of the media, we don't have a lot of access, so I got to ask you.
Yeah, well, and there's a reason you don't have a lot of access. You know, you guys are brutal. You're inaccurate. You're. I gotta give you.
Man, I feel like Georges St. Pierre last night in the ring.
But no, in all honesty, I think that the challenges that we have are obvious. We've got a lot of new guys, you know, 6-7 guys. And actually, when you count the walk-ons who are great kids, the local guys, Nick and Noah, that have also joined us, that are with us every day and very much a part of our family and our development and practice. When you add all those new faces, you've got to you know, figure out how you're going to live in harmony within your house. So that's one of the challenges. Fortunately, that's moving in the right direction. Always a little few bumps in the road, but nothing major at all. And then just the guys, the key guys, you know, the playing 7, 8, 9 guys, you know, chemistry on the floor together, knowing when to pass the ball to Sheck and when not to pass it to him, knowing who you can rely on to, you know, crash on the weak side and get you an offensive rebound, and all the little nuances that go into, you know, understanding how to play with a teammate on the floor. So those two things, just because of the newness, create, I think, the biggest challenge. I think you asked me also what was I excited about. It's obvious the upgrade, in talent. We've got great kids that were here last year that were doing well. I just talked to Uche yesterday. Chris Jones is playing well overseas, and talked to Jalen at St. Bonnie's. He wished me happy birthday a couple weeks ago. So still have good relationships with those guys and love them dearly. But these guys are just better players right now at this stage of their careers. And then the youthfulness to see guys like Mbake, who I think is going to be a really, really good player down the road, who's still learning and very excited about. Probably the last thing I would mention is that I'm excited about their attitudes towards getting better. You know, they really love to get in the gym, as Jordy mentioned, and that's a key, you know, for any coach. We only get so many hours out of the week we get to work with them due to NCAA, you know, rules. But if they get in and get up shots after, work on their game after, I mean, they put together shooting drills on their own on their days off, and they do things that championship teams do.
Jordy Johnson mentioned spending a lot of time in the weight room, and Chris Wynn actually just texted me saying he thinks Dembele, might be the most improved player in the Mountain West this year. What I saw with Chekna, and ask me if I'm wrong, I asked people this, and Mark Anderson said, no, not that much. I thought he was much bigger than last year. His arms were the size of my legs. I mean, he has definitely blown up a bit, right?
Yeah, he has. He was a big boy last year. Don't get me wrong. He worked hard when he first got here. When he first got here to the U.S. and he wasn't as defined and cut from as he is now. So that's the thing I think that makes it a little more pop out at you, because it's just the definition. And he is, but he is bigger and he is stronger, and he's worked his tail off to get there.
Coach, I want to ask you about Justin. That was, you know, the other day, that was the first time I saw him play in person. And NBA body, great stroke, can shoot, you know, 10, 15-foot jump shot, great post moves. I think he has the ability to be an all-conference player. I really do. Can you talk a little bit more about him? Because I think he is an absolute key to your team this year and your success.
Well, the reason we went the JUCO route was, you know, we could have went all high school guys, but you know the dynamics of this city.
Right.
We don't want to make them wait too long, right? So, but at the same time, you want to put something together that's going to be sustained. So, you know, you can go through your roster and look at the young guys, that Tervell Beck, you know, who we call Nunu, and Jay, and Mbake, and, you know, the future, those freshmen and sophomore. You can throw Shaq in there as well. But really, to get an immediate impact in this conference, you had to bring in, you know, a couple high level guys that mm-hmm. I think we got that in Amari, even though he's a young guy. I think we got that in Shakur and obviously Brandon McCoy as well. So Shakur's, once you get to know him, you guys, you're gonna really, really like this kid. Like, he's so humble, but yet very, very hungry at the same time, which is, you know, we always talk about that being a great combination, and he truly is that. And I think you're going to see his athletic ability is really, really good, but it's his competitiveness and his kind of will to win. I think I like that the most about him.
I'm looking forward to see him on the court with Brandon McCoy together. That's going to be something to see. He is Coach Marvin Menzies, head coach of UNLV basketball. Coach, we appreciate you coming on, and I'll see you at practice. Oh, wait a minute. I won't see you at practice. I'm not allowed in, right?
Well, if you come in the first few minutes, I'll let you sit for a little bit. When we get into sets, I'm going to kick your butt out. You know?
I'll do a few push-ups or something, man.
Hey, don't act like this is my first year. I mean, well, you can if you want to, because it kind of is. But you know the rules, bro.
I do. We appreciate you, Coach. We will see you next Friday night. Best of luck to you this season. We're looking forward to it.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, fellas. Take care, guys.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
It is time for Blazin', brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, a stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. Two happy hours every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. Every Monday night, I host the Monday Night Football Party up there. Tomorrow night is going to be super special, and something blazing right now and helping me out with our section of Blazin' is a friend of mine, a guy that I have admired watching him grow up, play the game of baseball and watching a true young gentleman come into play, but a hell of a baseball player. Roger Riley, the catcher of Basic High School, the last 2 years when they won state championships in 2016, 2017. They go on, they go to the American Legion, and Coach Scott Baker takes them all the way to the championship. For a minute there, it looked like they weren't going to get in. They get in on a break, and they take advantage of that break, and they win it. Roger, what a ride it's been for you, my friend. You just got back from the World Series, being honored in Houston. How are you feeling, man? Is it just a whirlwind for you?
Yeah, I mean, all these opportunities I'm getting, they're going to be something I'm never going to forget. I'm just making a lot of memories, and just when you think it's done, they send us to Houston to watch the Astros play in a World Series, and it was a great time. And I just have so much respect, and I'm so grateful for Basic and the program and Scott, and I just can't say thank you enough to all the people that have helped me get here.
Roger, I got to tell you, it had to be encouraging getting on the field in Houston, because the one thing is, you know, I know your goal and your dream is every kid's play the opportunity to play at the highest level. We all want to do that. You're going to college to achieve a goal. And I told you before, secretly at Meadows Mall, you have an intangible that a lot of kids don't have. I'm not blowing smoke up your backside. I am telling you that, you know, it's this fervor, this fire, and I've seen it in you. But how encouraging was it to be on the field at Houston and see a guy playing in the major leagues, maybe the most pure hitter in today's game, and you're bigger than he is, in Jose Altuve?
It was awesome. It just shows you that hard work can really pay off. Hard work can get you anywhere, no matter your size. Like Marcus Stroman says, height doesn't measure heart, and it was just awesome.
I'll tell you, me and Brian, Brian Shapiro's in here with me. The thing we sat and we saw Jack Thomas Wald 2 weeks ago at the UNLV game holding up a sound thing, and it was so cool to see Jack. Jack on the other side, not a small guy, 21 home runs in this summer, and really you and him have been the leaders of the Basic High School baseball team for the past couple years. Your relationship with Jack, and now he's at UNLV, you're at CSN. How has that been, and how was it being a leader of your high school team that went to and won two state championships?
It's a lot of pressure. You got to really think about what you say and what you do, because everybody's watching you, especially the other guys. Like, you really got to step up your game on and off the field. But I love those guys. I love playing with them. I loved being their leader, if that's what they wanted to call me. And I loved having Jack there, because if they didn't listen to me, they were listening to Jack.
Well, Roger Riley, one of the best two-strike hitters. Brian, you got to see this kid play. We're going to come down and be watching you at CSN. I'm going to go check out Jack at UNLV. I haven't been to any baseball games, college, since I've been in Vegas, and I'm so excited.
Oh, they're fun.
I know a couple of the players now, yeah, and a couple of the really good players. And Brian, you're going to really enjoy when I bring you out there to see Roger play and Jack Thomas Wald.
Look forward
These
to it.
Kids love this game, and they play it with intensity. They play it to win. They do what it takes. Roger, tomorrow night. You excited about tomorrow night, my friend?
Oh, heck yeah, some B-dubs, some Buffalo Wild Wings.
We're going to be chowing down. Roger will be there, the whole Basic, most of them. A lot of the guys are playing in college, but most of them will be down there. You might even see a pro player. Brian Giles' son plays, Kevin Giles, if I'm not Kevin, what his son's name? He plays third base for you guys.
Garrett.
And his dad's Brian Giles. Hey, we got to go. We're out of time. Roger, I will see you tomorrow night at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on out and join us. That is Blazin'. We'll see you soon, Roger. Thanks, man.
All right, thank you for having me.
Oh, always. Brian, I want to thank Brian Shapiro. Brian,
thank you.
Hey, man, thanks for coming in.
It's a lot of fun.
Great time, Magnum. We're almost out of We are out of time. Out of line every time, same weekend, 8 to 9 a.m., Fox Sports Radio. We will be back next week.
Best bets.
Oh, best bets. I'm sorry,
you
Mags.
You got 40 seconds.
Mags, go ahead. Give me yours.
I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to take the Giants getting 5.5 at home against the Rams.
Shapiro, you got a best bet for
Are
us?
You out of your mind? I'm taking the Rams. going against Mags.
Going against. I'll find out what Dewey's is. I didn't get his. I'll find out his later. I'm going unconventional wisdom. I am taking the Indianapolis Colts at Houston, getting the points. I think they're going to win the game outright. We'll be back next week. We're here every week, same time. I'm Brian. He's Mags. He's Brian. I want to thank Coach Marvin Menzies. I want to thank Jordan Johnson. And I want to thank Mark Anderson for joining the show today. We'll see you next week.